two passages in Scripture today, and we're going to be in Luke chapter 18. If you use the blue book in front of you, it's on page 1094. We're going to be in Luke chapter 18 and Luke chapter 19. And I want to contrast these two passages in just a few minutes. I won't hold you long. And I want you to kind of grasp, because what I really like about our pastor and this church and what we've been doing is that he's been really diving into, in all of his lessons, all his sermons, how you're saved. And that's so important, because we lose sight often about how am I really saved? I know you question it at times. Am I really saved? Did I say the right words? Do I have the... maybe I need to go back and make sure I'm really saved by making sure, now that I'm older, maybe you're like me, you were saved as a youngster, and maybe I didn't know the right words, but now that I've studied for years and been under a lot of good preaching and teaching, I know the right words. So now I really understand what I mean. No. The faith you had to get saved, God gave you. It was enough to get you saved. So I want us to look in these passages, and I want to contrast these things. And my title for the message today is to hold on or let go. Hold on or let go. Things you should hold on to and things you should let go of. And that's true in life, and that's true among believers. There are things you should let go and hold on to. Now, I heard a story years ago of a young man that went to work. You know, he went to work with a bricklayer outfit, construction. And in those days, they had an old wooden barrel, and they would hoist them up with pulley and rope up to about the second floor or so where they were working, and they would have the bricks in them. They'd take the bricks out. Well, they were cleaning up the site. It was leftovers. And this young guy, new guy to the construction crew, the foreman went to him and said, "Now, we got a bunch of extra bricks up there. Take this barrel and rope and pull it down and tie it off and go up and load those extra bricks in the barrel and get them back down so we can take them and go." And so he did that. He hoisted up, tied it off, and he started, got up there and loading the brick. And he figured, well, I can get them all in one load. So he put them all in there, filled it up. When he went down and he grabbed the rope and he kind of wrapped it around, you know, took a good hold of it, reached down and loosened it, and he didn't realize it was heavier than he was. So next thing he knows, before he could even think, he was shooting up into the air. And he passed the barrel about halfway down, hit him in the arm and shoulder, and went on down to the ground. He went up to where the pulley was, and he jammed his hand in the pulley. And about that time, the barrel hit the ground. Well, it was a wooden barrel, so it busted the bottom out. And next thing he knows, it's weightless. So he's going back down, holding on, and he passes that barrel coming up, what's left of it, and it hits him in the leg. And about that time, then he hit the ground all of a sudden, and he was kind of dazed and hurting and everything, and it came out of his hand. Well, here comes the rest of the barrel down and landed on him. Now, to hold on or to let go? You know, that's the lesson we have to learn. And I hope that in this lesson, this is what I'm going to try to make the point across to you. If you'd pray with me real quick. Father, we just thank you for your word, the truth of your word. We pray that you bless, God, that you save the lost, you strengthen the believer, you do all things to exalt your name through Jesus. Amen. So we're in Luke again, chapter 18, starting at verse 18. It's called The Rich Young Ruler. And it's titled and mentioned in three of the Gospels, this passage is. And I want to just kind of read it to you here real quick. We're going to go 18 through 24. And the ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness, honor your father and mother." And he looked at him and said, "All these I've kept from my youth." When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "One thing you still lack. Sell all that you have, distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come follow me." But when he heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely wealthy, extremely rich. Jesus, seeing he had become sad, said, to his disciples how hard it is for someone that's very rich to get into heaven. He goes on and says it's not impossible, but it's the odds are against them. Why? Because he knew they trust in their wealth. They're not going to trust in God. Their focus, their consuming thoughts are my money, my treasure. Now, I don't speak a lot about money, and I don't believe in goading people in the giving, support the church and all this. I'm going to show you why here in a little bit. And I'm not saying it's wrong to mention it. And both of the passages we're going to look at include money in them. But money's not the point of the message. That's not the point we're trying to make. So bear with me on that. So let's look at this and break it down a little bit. So the ruler, the good man, came to him and he said, "What must I do to inherit life? Eternal life." So in another passage of the same story, one came to him and running and kneeling. That's why we call him the rich young ruler, because we know he was very rich and he was young because he ran to Jesus. He knelt to Jesus and he said to him, "Good master, what good thing shall I do? What good thing shall I do?" That's in Matthew 19:16, if you're writing things down. He said, "What good thing shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" So he instantly acknowledged Jesus. He ran to Jesus. And today, I can tell you, a lot of people run to Jesus. A lot of people do. We have a lot of situations. I shared with class this morning. You know, there's many roads that lead to Jesus. Jesus brings many people to him in many different avenues of life, many different circumstances. Only Jesus is the road to God. But Jesus brings people to him. And sometimes it's trials, it's tribulations. It's, "Oh, I heard the message. I believe." He gave you the faith to believe what you believe. And you come to Jesus. So many people come to Jesus. But as many people that I've seen over the many years now, I've been doing this for a lot of years. I've seen a lot of people, a lot of things. Some of you have too. You could stand up here just as well as me and share your observations and stories. They run to Jesus, and then when times get tough, because God proves us, a lot of people run from Jesus. So we run to Jesus. We say, "Help me in this situation. Help me in this circumstance. Deliver me from this, oh God." And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with it. "Oh, I don't want to die and go to hell." That's okay. That's a good reason. That's a good reason. So there's good reasons, but do you endure? God proves you. Well, with this young man, he came to Jesus, and he goes on, he goes, "No one's good except God alone." And he says, "You know the commandments." Now, I read that, you know, and in a water program, if you've ever been in a water program, I've done it. I was club commander for a couple different sessions that we've had over the years. And one of their motto verses, 2 Timothy 2:15, tells us to have a workman who's rightly dividing the word of God, showing yourself approved. And I'm afraid whenever I look at this or you look at this and you say, "Well, now here's Jesus saying, you know the commandments." And I got thinking, well, now didn't Jesus, you know, did he kind of, okay, while he was alive, and this is just my thinking out loud here to you, while he was alive, maybe he didn't understand salvation by grace through faith. Because it sounds like he's trying to lead this individual down the road of, why did he say, "Well, you know the commandments"? And if you'd come to me or the pastor or others in the church that have been saved, for you're saved by grace through faith. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, how come Jesus seems to be confused here, you might say? Now, we know he really wasn't confused, and I hope I can make that clear here shortly. But it sounds like he was saying, you know, he only listed five of them. He didn't list all the Ten Commandments. But this guy's reply was, in verse 21, "All these things I've kept from my youth." Do you believe that? Knowing yourself, do you believe that? Knowing myself, I don't believe that. You've broken one, you've broken them all. It doesn't matter, right? That's what the Bible says. You've broken one, you've broken them all. But here it looks like Jesus, why is Jesus saying, do these five things? I think because these five things, he was rich young ruler, and did you read what they were? Don't steal, Don't murder. Don't commit adultery. Bear false witness. Honor your mother and father. I think he kind of failed in all of these, is my humble opinion. And he says, oh no. He said, I've kept them from my youth. And then Jesus goes on, he says to him after he makes that statement, he says, you lack one thing. Now here we go again. Now this is the money side of it. Sell everything you have. So Jesus saying, keep some commandments. And there's another verse in the Bible he asked after he said that, which ones? He said, which ones should I keep? Well, if you want to live up to God's standard, you have to keep them all. See, but in the Bible, it tells us a couple things. I want to read a few verses to you here. And you can write these down. You don't have to look them up but right now, but you can. Titus 3:5, here's what it says. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Didn't Jesus know that? Maybe that was true after he died and he rose. Maybe it was at this time you had to live up to these standards. But that's false. That's not true. Jesus knew all of the scripture, even though it hadn't been written yet. He knew it. He was the word. He was what was written about. Romans 3:19-20. All the world has become guilty before God, for by the works of the law, which are the commandments, the law, he said, by the works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes the knowledge of sin. See, that's what God uses to convince us and convict us that we don't meet his standard. Jesus kept those commandments. He gave everything he had. But does God come to us today and say, keep the commandments? No. The Philippian jailer, you're familiar with that passage, just real quick. So the Philippian jailer in Acts 29-31 said he came before Paul and Silas and he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Now, he wasn't saying, what good thing can I do to be saved? He said, how can I get saved? And that's what, if you're lost, that's what you need to be asking and interested in. What can I do to be saved? What's it take? They said unto him, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Period. So getting back into this lesson, here's Jesus saying these things and he's saying, sell everything you have and come and follow me. Now, that's not rightly dividing the scripture if you have the impression that it takes something on my part, something of my effort, something that I can do that now makes me suitable for heaven. You're not going to get there. You're not going to get there. I can't get there. I can't get there. And he doesn't make it that way. He does that to say, here's God's standard. Live up to it. If you can live up to it, as Ephesians 2:8-9 says, then you got something to brag about. You got something to boast about. You can't live up to it. You won't live up to it. But there is a way. I will, Jesus said. I'll live up to it. I'll keep the commandments. I'll sacrifice. Now, if you know what happens in life, and listen to me, and I'm just guilty, so when I say something to you, I'm saying it from experience, not from I'm up here on the platform and you're down there in the lower seats. Yeah. It's from experience. We won't live up to his standard, and we'll sell out for a lot less. A lot less. A little pleasure, a little companionship, a little thrill, some excitement. And then it gets to this part, you know, where does Jesus ever say, now that you won't really be saved and get to heaven, empty your bank accounts, sell your home, sell your land, sell everything you have, and come follow me. That's not in Scripture as part of a way of salvation. But he's showing this individual that if you think you can do it on your own, this is what it's going to cost you to do it on your own. If you can live up to God's standard and you do what I'm asking, you'll take your eyes off your wealth and you'll put on God. And this young man wasn't going to do that because it says he went away sorrowful. He was very sorrowful, or he went away grieved because he was very wealthy. He was very wealthy. I want you to look with me over in Luke 19. And now I want to contrast this event, what could have been a salvation experience. And then we're going to come back here and I'm going to give you the key. I'm going to give you the key to this, what we're talking about with the rich young ruler, of how he could have been saved. Look with me in chapter 19, page 1096. And this is a story of Zacchaeus. You all, if you've been around church much, you know the story of small statured Zacchaeus. Chapter 19, verse 1. We're going to go 1 through 10. He entered Jericho and passing through, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector. We hate those people, don't we? Those tax collectors, they hated him too. And he was rich. See, there's some comparisons here with him. And he must have been a younger man also, because we know what he did. He was seeking Jesus to see who he was. Well, so was the rich young ruler. He ran to him, kneeled down before him, and started talking to him and saying, "What good thing can I do to have eternal life?" And Zacchaeus went there and he was seeking Jesus, who he was. But on account of the crowd, he couldn't see him because he was a small individual in stature. So what's he do? Like any young man, he ran on ahead and climbed a tree. You guys ever climbed trees when you were kids? Some of you, you have. I'm hoping you've experienced that thrill, climbing a tree. Well, here he did, you know. And listen, he was a rich guy. He was a young guy. He was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, Jesus paused and looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, when the onlookers saw it, the rightly religious people, they looked and they all grumbled and they complained and murmured and said, "He's gone away with a man who's a sinner. He's a tax collector." You know why he was a sinner as a tax collector? Because he collected for Rome and he collected more than he was supposed to, and he kept the profit. That's how he became rich. He broke the commandments. He cheated people. And he was going to be his guest, this sinner. And verse 8 says, "Zacchaeus stood and said, 'Lord, behold, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I defrauded anyone anything, I restored it fourfold.' And Jesus said," listen, "'today's salvation is come to this house, for he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost.'" Why didn't Jesus say to him, "Zacchaeus, half's not enough. You need to give it all away. I told the other guy, give it all away. And now you come and say, I'm giving half. And Zacchaeus, you broke commandments. You were cheating people." He was righteously described as a sinner, a lost man. But he said he ran to see Jesus. He hurried and he received him joyfully. He received him joyfully. Zacchaeus received salvation. Jesus said it. I don't have to. He said, "Today salvation has come to this house." Now why? Why the difference? Why didn't he, with the rich young ruler and Zacchaeus, give them the same standards? You have to be saved this way. You have to give it all. And by the way, Jesus never said, give it to somebody. He said, give it to the poor. Now I'm for supporting the church. I'm a pastor elder here. I support this church, and I don't do it I want to do it the way Zacchaeus did it. Why? He got saved. And he gave out of joy to the Lord for what he received. Now, we just came through Christmas. And you exchanged gifts to some extent, I'm assuming. And when you got your gift that someone gave you, did they come back later and say, wait, I gave this to you and I got a dirty house and a dirty car. If you want to keep what I've given you, clean my house, clean my car, and then you can keep the gift. Did anybody approach any? Don't tell me if they did. Don't tell me. Did anybody approach you and say, I'm giving you something, but you need to do something to keep what I'm giving you? And that's the way it is with salvation. John 3:16, a verse probably the most popular. God so loved the world, he gave his son a gift. Whoever believes in him and receives that gift has eternal life. It's that simple. There's nothing. You don't have to achieve something. Don't struggle with your past sins. Oh, you don't know how bad I've been. Well, you don't know how bad I've been either. And I wouldn't want it rolled across the screens up here either. But the God that I believe in doesn't have anything that will go across the screen. And that's the gift. He offered the gift. I received the gift. That's the difference between Zacchaeus and the rich young ruler. Zacchaeus was joyfully. He received Jesus. Jesus changed his life. Why I don't have to make a big deal about money is I believe that when you get saved, God changes your heart. And the things that you now do, I'm a tax collector, you owe this much, and I get this much of it, and here's the mark for Rome, and here's me, and next. I don't do that anymore. He puts a new tongue in your mouth. You should not speak always. Now, look, I know we fail. I know we fail, believe me. But I'm going to tell you this, and I'm not bragging, and I don't want you to take it as bragging, but you know, my wife has never heard me say a cuss word. My children have never heard me say a cuss word. Now, there's other things I have done. The people I work with have never heard me say a cuss word. That doesn't make me perfect. That's one of many areas. Some of you have never drank, took drugs, had an outside of the marriage affair, been unfaithful. And that's good things. Those are good things. But that doesn't get you to heaven. Because like me, there's many other areas that people could point at. If you knew some of my relatives, family, friends from years ago when I was a kid, I'm just a guilty. Even as an adult, there's certain areas where I would be guilty. But it's not based on keeping and being perfect. I can't do it. Well, let me wrap this up. The pastor saying, what? What? Yeah. Wrapping it up. My wrap up is going to be just a few minutes. Let's go back into chapter 18 and look at the rich young ruler again. And I want to give you what I believe is the key to this passage. That Jesus wasn't confused, or he didn't misinterpret salvation being a free gift by saying he was telling Zacchaeus, if you want, as I mentioned, if you want to live perfect in God's eyes, you have to keep these commandments and you have to love God more than your money. But that wasn't, again, the key to salvation. Let's look back up with me there and look at start at verse 18 again. 18:18. A ruler asked him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And here's the key. Jesus said unto him, why do you call me good? See, here's the key. It's starting to turn. Why do you call me good? This is what Jesus is asking him. No one's good except God alone. Now, in my version, which would be 19b, verse 19b, he replied, "Well said, Lord. I called you good because there is none good except God." That's the key. That's what he missed. He acknowledged him to be good, God, but he didn't believe that he was a good God. That's why Jesus didn't dwell on that. But that was the rich young ruler's opportunity of salvation, was to acknowledge who Jesus truly is, that he is God in the flesh, and I trust in that fact that he is God in the flesh. That's why Jesus went on and said, keep the commandments. Give what you have. Because that wasn't a way of salvation. His statement was the way of salvation. His statement acknowledging Jesus to be good and Jesus declaring no one's good but God. You're right. That's why I acknowledged you as being good. That's the key to this whole lesson. Acknowledging who Jesus is and that it's only through him and it's not by my works. It's not because once or twice a year I get to stand in front of the church body and preach. I'm up here often. I teach a class. I've done many programs, worked many kids' ministries. I was here when, and some of you had family here at that time, when this was just a dirt field. But just because I've been here and I've been from the concrete to the shingles doesn't mean I have a home in heaven. It doesn't make it. God says your works are filthy rags. Now, it don't mean you shouldn't have works, but they need to be stimulated and provoked as Zacchaeus, I got saved. Because I got saved, I do these things. Because I believe in Jesus, who is good, I do these things. All things in my life work for my good. Romans 8:28. It works for my good. Doesn't mean everything that happens to you in life is good. But it means that it works for your good. And God loves you. God loves me as much as he loves Jesus. Did you know that? God only has one love. If you guys are hot rodders and you drive a four-speed, 68 Chevelle, 62 Corvette, when God's love is fourth gear and he never goes back to first, second, and third, he's always got the foot down. He only has one kind of love. He don't love someone else better than you because you've done all these things all your life. I don't go on a scale and here's my good works, here's my bad works. Oh, I made it. Oh, I didn't make it. He's the scale. He's the weight on the other side. Is he heavy enough for you? You like that boy with the bricks we talked about earlier? If you weigh him down, does he shoot you up? If you humble yourself, yes. If you humble yourself, he'll shoot you up. And that's my lesson for today. That's what I want to share with you. There's no misinterpretation of what Jesus was saying. Rightly dividing the word, understanding what he means, understanding what he's trying to do in your life today. In your life today. Because life is short. Even at its fullest. I know people that lived to be 100 years old. I know people that didn't make it out of infancy. And life is short. Jesus is the only sure thing in your life. This holiday season, and I'm closing here, Pastor. You have opportunity to receive the gift of God. That babe that was wrapped in swaddling clothes, laid in a manger. You know why he was there? He was food. You know why he was born among the animals? That's the sacrifices in that day. It wasn't odd that he was born in a stable. He was born amongst the sacrifices to be a sacrifice in that day. That's why he was born in a stable. And that gift he offers to you. You guys can come on up and get ready to sing. I'm good. I'm wrapping it up. So I want you to have the opportunity. The pastor's here. There's leaders in the church. This altar, this altar up here, if you want to come and pray, nobody's going to look and make fun of you. Only the ignorant will do that. Only the ignorant. If you feel the need, you have things that you care about, your families, your babies, your friends, co-workers, they need salvation. See the pastor. Come forward. Ask if you can help. I know the pastor does has connection cards. I'll go ahead and do this part. You may have already, but you can fill this out. There's two boxes on the back there where you can put anything that you want to give to help support the ministries of this church. Or you have questions, you have concerns, you have hurts you don't want to share publicly. That's great. If you need to talk to a lady, some women feel better talking to women, we'll hook you up with some of our ladies. Or if you have anything about joining the church, baptizings, getting saved above all things, don't go into next year lost because you may not make it through next year. You may not make it to next year. And I say that with all sincerity. I've seen people that were here, and you have too, today, and they're gone. You talk with them, and they're gone. I know that for facts. So easy. Life is so fragile. You do what the Lord leads you to do if you pray with me. Father, we just thank you for your word, the truths of your word, the lessons of your word. We pray, God, that you just bless, God. You touch hearts and lives. I know the devil's at war.